mental health and looking after your health and well-being, when can we go back to the dentist? Because if you've been harbouring a toothache for the last 60-something days, you've be in a right mess right now and you want to go to the dentist and get it sorted. If you lost a filling or broke a tooth or something, you need a dentist. Kieran O'Connor is the president of the Irish Dental Association. Kieran, it could be one of the most difficult sectors to bring back in full. When can we go back to the dentist? Good morning.
Good morning, PJ. The restriction on dental practices that reduced us to emergency care only ended this morning. So we are no longer on emergency only now. Since the end of March, when lockdown came, the emergency only restriction was really part of the public health measures to reduce, you know, footfall and people stay at home. But dental practices have been managing to deal with our patients. I know I've been able to deal with a lot of people remotely, do triage, do remote prescribing, and then see people that needed to be seen for intervention. So, you know, we have managed as best we can in the emergency only context to deal with the acute problems that need to be dealt with. But we have broken teeth that were not causing symptoms that now need to be fixed, and things that they measure antibiotics that need intervention. So, you know, there's a bit of catch up for that to go on.
I would think dealing with the mouth and the face all day, every day, it must be one of the most high risk areas.
I suppose as dentists, we've been managing infection prevention and control for a long time, and we do it to a very high standard. I think we've never really had to make a big deal of it to our patients because, you know, infection prevention control and all that was never part of normal conversation. But we've been doing very high standard precautions all the time. So that means in many ways we need to change very little.
Yeah. So if I wanted to go and get a filling done or a cracked tooth repaired or something, I'd ring my dentist. How will the appointment system change?
Yes, I mean, it's very much the social distancing model that's affecting every sector. That's going to be the big thing. So we want to really have, you know, access in such a way so that it's much more controlled. So when somebody phones, they will be asked questions as to whether they've had any onset of fever or respiratory symptoms, any COVID-19 contacts. And if they have, then we will not give them an appointment. They'll need to not come in and see the GP if, you know, they have a suspicion that they have some symptoms. And then we'll have a sign at the door of the practice with those questions again. And, you know, we'll have a sign up for when we will open later in the week that ring to come in if you have an appointment. If you don't, phone the number and book your appointment. Mm. And we'll be encouraging, you know, if a mum is coming in, not to bring a mum is for an appointment, not to bring the children with her, because we want to, you know, decrease the footfall and don't have people within the building that don't need to be there. And, you know, we've taken chairs out of the waiting room so that there will be ideally not much use of the waiting room, but that, you know, we'll have no more than two or three in there if we need to, and that people are coming at their appointment time, not early. And we very much then, when they come in the door, use the hand sanitizer. They have a perspex screen at reception, and then, you know, into the surgery, and then we deal with whatever needs to be dealt with in there. So it's, I suppose, the open access that we have with lots of services, that will change. And that's really to minimise the physical contact and keep the social distancing going. And again, within the building ourselves, you know, it's going to be different for us to, you know, not congregate in the kitchen with a cup of tea mid-morning like we would. But that's in lots of workplaces.
Yes, it is. You said there that people would be asked on the phone, you know, have they had temperature and like that, and one assumes they will tell the truth. But what about the person who is asymptomatic, and yes, because of the nature of this blasted virus, they have no symptoms, but they're shedding virus in your surgery. Yeah, how do you provide for that?
We can consider to take temperatures on everybody as they come into the surgery, which is a, you know, major role in helping with that. But I suppose the big thing is that there has been, you know, we do very high standards of environmental cleaning and our own standard precautions. You know, we've been dealing with people with all sorts of conditions and diseases. You know, influenza season happens and dental practices have not been...
That's true, actually, yeah.
And, you know, when HIV/AIDS emerged in the early 1980s, that radically changed how infection prevention and control happened in dental practices. And that's, you know, we have been incredibly high standard. We just haven't had.
I suppose the worry is, Kieran, that COVID can last for a while in room temperature, in the air, or on surfaces, and people would be concerned about that. So will there have to be a gap between each patient? Like, will you have to wipe the chair down and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we've always done very high standard with that. The Health Protection Surveillance Centre produced revised guidelines on Friday, and then Dental Council made a statement on Saturday. So, you know, their HPSC guidance is very clear on what best practice is at this point in time. And, you know, if we're doing something that may involve, say, like a filling or a scaling, we may choose to wear a particular mask for that. But generally, dentists will have their eye protection, scrubs, a plastic apron. So we're going to look much the same as we always did.
Yeah. Yeah, my own dentist has been wearing a face mask and gloves and an eye visor for as long as I'm going to him, so it don't make much difference there.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've been doing things to a very high standard all the time. But it's the changing the logistics of how we operate that's going to be, you know, a challenge for people to get used to. The same has happened with the GPs. People are used to waiting in their cars now rather than just walk into the full waiting room.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to be the important bit.
Will costs go up, Kieran, as a result of this?
I mean,
cost to the client. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's early days. Like with all businesses, there is going to be decreased capacity, if you like, because of the way appointment systems are going to work. But it's early days with all this, so we'll have to see how that emerges. But you know, lots of businesses who are going to have basically reduced capacity, their fixed costs remain the same. So you know, that will need to be figured out.
Okay.
But our big focus is we want to get back looking after the people that we've always looked after.
Okay.
And do the care that needs to be done. There's going to be a bit of catch-up with the more urgent care to begin with.
Yeah.
And then go back to doing other stuff after that.
So the message to listeners to the Opinion Line this morning, Kieran, is if you need your dentist, you may now call them.
Absolutely, absolutely. But be prepared for more questions when you book the appointment as you come in. And that places will look a little bit less cluttered. You know, it's the minimalist, you call it Nordic look, is the in thing in healthcare at the moment. So that's how that's going to work, and
okay.
You know, we're very committed to delivering care to the people that we've always wanted to look after.
Okay, well, good luck to everybody in the profession, and everybody stay safe, and hopefully get back to good, reliable, safe practice. That's Kieran O'Connor, president of the Irish Dental, as our former president, rather, the Irish Dental.